Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Victory Tuesday. Happy Christmas Eve to those who celebrate. Welcome into the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much for being here. We've got a lot to dig into. I do want to mention that today's show is being presented by Habish Habish Rotier. Super excited to be partnering with Habish Habish Rotier. They know the Packers. They know Wisconsin. They speak Wisconsin. Have over 13 office locations in Wisconsin, including one 7 minutes from Lambeau, 5 minutes from Camp Randall Stadium. Do me a favor. When you need a local, reputable personal injury attorney that's going to work for you, make sure that you work with Habish. When you call Habish, you're going to talk to a lawyer directly. Their number is 800-242-2874 or 800-2-HABISH. You can also visit their website at habish.com. Habish, Habish, a Rotier, national reputation, hometown service. Now, this is an interesting game for the Packers. Packers defeat the Saints 34-0, which if you're counting at home, Saints and Seahawks victories combined 64-13 over these past 2 weeks. So since that loss to the Lions, Green Bay's taking out some frustrations, a 64-13 net score over the last 2 weeks, their fifth consecutive 30-point performance, the second longest streak in team history. They did it 7 times in a row in 1963, which means this is something that Aaron Rodgers has never done. This is something that Brett Favre has never done. This is something that the 2010 team or 96 team has never done. It has been a while, 1963, since they've had five consecutive 30-point performances. It was 7 consecutive in 1963. So really impressive from this Packers offense and really just all-around team effort to get them to 30 points in all 5 of their last 5 games. This is also their 37th postseason appearance, most for any team in NFL history. They surpassed the Dallas Cowboys by clinching a playoff berth on Monday. And we're going to break down everything for you in full detail, as we always do, and I'm excited to do so. Let's talk about our Luigi's Pizza player of the game in this one. This is an interesting kind of discussion. Keyshawn Nixon, definitely, I think, in the discussion here. Devontae Wyatt had a couple sacks. Edgerrin Cooper had 10 tackles. You could definitely go a variety of different ways on defense. Heck, you could even probably give it just to Jeff Hafley in this one. And as I'm saying it out loud, I even kind of want to go with Jeff Hafley. But I'm going to give the game ball in this one to Josh Jacobs. It's hard because he barely even played in the second half. But when this game was kind of in the balance, let's be real, it was never really in the balance. But when it was kind of in the balance, it was Josh Jacobs that was the star. 13 carries, 69 yards, a touchdown, 5.3 yard average, adding another 4 catches for 38 yards, 17 total touches, 107 yards and a touchdown. Basically all of that work in the first half when, again, the game was sort of kind of ish in the balance, still 21-0 at that point, but he set the tone. And you also noticed a difference when Josh Jacobs was in the game and as soon as he went out of the game. Once they said, you know what, that's enough Josh Jacobs, we don't really need him anymore. But listen, Wilson and Brooks were still really good, but there was a difference within that offense. It wasn't quite as efficient, wasn't quite as effective, and you could notice it. So for this one, there's a lot of different ways you could go. Jeff Hafley's pulling at my heartstrings a little bit and kind of want to give it to him, but I'm going to still go with Josh Jacobs. 13 carries, 69 yards, a touchdown, 5.3 yard average. And again, was sort of the workhorse when this game was at its onset and when they were really trying to put the Saints away early and get off to that fast start. Kudos to Josh Jacobs for getting them off to that strong start. He's been unbelievable, just absolutely unbelievable. And some of the runs that he made in this one, the get off of me on Honey Badger, the just ability to, again, take there's the one play where Brise for the Saints gets him in the backfield. He breaks that. He breaks another tackle. Then Brise comes back and gets him. But what should have been a 1 yard loss was a really tough, really, really tough 3 yard gain. It's just really, really impressive stuff consistently and constantly from Josh Jacobs. And he's got such a great blend of being able to make guys miss in the open field, but also just run through faces. And it's rare. It's rare. Plus he can catch the ball at the backfield and be a power runner as well. It's just a really rare blend, and it's awesome to have Josh Jacobs on this Packers team. So he is my Luigi's Pizza player of the game. Make sure to check out Luigi's Pizza. Follow them on Twitter at Luigi's Pizza, L-U-I-G-E-S-P-I-Z-Z-A, and tweet out Luigi's Victory Monday. I know it's a Victory Tuesday, but we still tweet out Luigi's Victory Monday. And as soon as you do so, you are entered to win a free case of Luigi's frozen pizzas. You're going to want to get in on that because they are absolutely delicious. If you have not celebrated a Packers victory with a Luigi's pizza, you are doing everything wrong in your life and you probably need to reevaluate it. All right, a fun stat from this one. This is a little bit out there, but this is from OptaStats. The Packers in this game scored 30 plus points, allowed 0 points, had over 400 plus yards, allowed fewer than 200 yards, had 0 turnovers, 0 fumbles, 0 sacks taken, and 0 missed kicks. I'll say that one more time. Over 30 points, 0 points allowed, over 400 yards, under 200 yards allowed, no turnovers, no fumbles, no sacks taken, no missed kicks. They are the first team ever to have that stat line in a game. That's pretty impressive. This football thing's been around for a hot second. And the fact that the Packers are the very first team to ever accomplish that, no, it's a weird grouping of stats. I will give you that. It's a really impressive group of stats, of things that they just completely dismantled this New Orleans Saints team with to go on to a 34-0 victory. As I said, we're going to break all of it down. Some of my key notes from this game, some key takeaways. Let's be real and we can be honest, right? The Saints are bad. That was a very bad football team. I do want to give their defense credit. They battled all throughout that game. The offense, not so much. The defense, they kept playing hard and they didn't make anything easy for the Packers. Even 21-0, right at, you know, first three drives, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. And like the Saints made them work for those drives. They really made them work. A lot of third down conversions, a lot of fourth down conversions. Packers worked hard for those 21 points. I can't stress that enough. The Packers worked very hard for those initial 21 points. And I can't tell you how many teams just in that situation are just going to call it a day. You're cold, you're at Lambeau. You're away from home. You have nothing to play for. It's already 21-0. I guarantee you the defense knew at that point that Spencer Rattler and the offense wasn't putting up 22 points or more. That game was done. Yet the defense for the Saints kept battling, and I respect the hell out of that because it could have gone in a variety of different directions, but they kept making Green Bay work for it all throughout the game. And eventually they got to their 34 points and they're over 30 points in this game. But the Saints really made them work all throughout the day. But the Saints are bad. A bad football team. And what I kind of want to add on top of that and just sort of state here is, yes, they're bad. But I kind of pointed this out in the live post game. Think of Carolina from a year ago. Carolina was an awful team that they went into Carolina. I was in Carolina, a little bit different. They go into Carolina and Bryce Young had his career day. And I think Carolina came up to almost, what, like 30 points in that game, if I remember correctly. And it took Green Bay everything in their power to go out and get that win against a really bad Carolina Panthers team. It was 33-30. 33-30 at that point in time. And again, it took everything for Green Bay. The Panthers were 2-12 prior to that game. 2-12. And the Panthers put up 30 points. And Bryce Young was 23 of 36, 312 yards and 2 touchdowns. They ran for 96 yards and 2 touchdowns. DJ Chark had 98 yards receiving. Adam Thielen had 94 yards receiving. That was an awful football team. And Green Bay did not shut them out. In fact, the Carolina Panthers put up 30 on the Packers. Similar sort of situation. Rookie quarterback, team that's eliminated, NFC South. Difference of home and away for sure. But Green Bay never gave the Saints a chance, never gave them even room to operate, room to breathe, reason for hope. They sucked their soul out. It's exactly what I called for pregame and on the Packaday radio show. They sucked the soul out of the Saints and never gave them any sort of optimism in this one whatsoever. So yes, the Saints are bad. Green Bay's faced bad teams like this before and have not obliterated them. And this was a pretty good obliteration of the New Orleans Saints. And I'll add on some things on that in just a moment. Number two, Packers defense was phenomenal. They were phenomenal. And we're starting to see, and I'll caveat it again, against a very poor practice squad-ish Saints offense. That was an exhibition offense for the Saints, right? But they were fantastic. And you go back now to the 49ers, the Dolphins, even the Lions and the Seahawks last week, you know, the Saints this week. What they're not allowing is anything deep down the field. They're not allowing the outside wide receivers to have a ton of opportunity on the outside. They're covering that really well. And they're really doing an unbelievable job of stopping the run. Now, the Lions, because they're really good, have a good quarterback and have receivers and tight ends that work really well in the middle of the field, were able to exploit Green Bay in the middle of the field. It also hurt Green Bay that they did not have Edgerrin Cooper in the middle of the field for that game. And they were able to exploit that. Miami was to some extent, but you go back for a while now, teams are not getting anything going on the outsides, anything deep or anything in the run game. And if you take all of that away and just limit the opposing team to the middle of the field, you feel pretty darn good about what you're doing. And it's going to give you a real opportunity to be successful. Detroit exploited it very well, put up over 30 some. It was the best team that they faced and Green Bay couldn't stop them. So I'm not saying job done, or that there's not things that they can continue to improve upon, but they're really doing a tremendous job. And now with Edgerrin Cooper back these past couple of weeks, patrolling that middle of the field, it has looked entirely different. It is no longer easy to just navigate that middle of the field. And there are only a handful of teams that really feel super comfortable playing at the level of a Detroit or maybe even Miami to some extent, where you've got the accurate quarterback with the playmakers over the middle to make it work. Not every team can do that. And if you don't, it's almost impossible. There's nothing going for the Saints in this game. They couldn't get the screen game going. They couldn't get the run game going. Nothing on the outside, nothing deep, just nothing doing whatsoever. Rattler had a scramble, and it just Green Bay's taking away what most teams want to be able to do. And they're dictating terms. They're saying, this is what you're going to be able to do. Good luck. Take it over and over. We think we're going to get enough stops in the interim, and we think we're going to make you throw so much over the middle of the field that maybe we can punch a ball out. Maybe we can get a tip, something intercepted. You throw high in a play and Xavier McKinney's lurking, whatever it might be. We feel really good about what we can do in that situation. And they've been right. And Jeff Hafley deserves a ton of credit. I still think this defense is operating not even close to what they are capable of, meaning, let me clarify, I'm not saying that they can do better than a shutout and less than 200 yards allowed, but I'm saying, imagine if you've got Jair back and Bullard back and Evan Williams back and those sort of things, Quay Walker back, it just gives you even more options on defense. But they were still fantastic in this game overall. Christian Watson injured, that's certainly a concern. We'll talk about that when we get to our injury portion of this breakdown. Offense did get a little sleepy in the middle of this one. Punt, field goal in the middle. Not brutal by any means. It's kind of understandable, but they go again, punt, field goal right in the middle of the game where it just felt like they were a little bit on cruise control. We'll talk about that as well. And then I just want to say this very clearly. The game was over after the first five drives in this game. It was touchdown Green Bay, punt New Orleans, touchdown Green Bay, punt New Orleans, touchdown Green Bay. It was done. It was over. And I do think even though it maybe felt a little disjointed in the middle from the Packers offense, it's really tough to kind of keep that high standard, especially the way New Orleans was playing defense, quite frankly. And add on top of that, that you were resting Josh Jacobs, making it so that, you know, he didn't have this huge workload in the second half. Christian Watson goes down with an injury. And you're kind of being a little bit vanilla. You don't want to put a bunch of crazy stuff out on tape in a game where you're easily going to win. And you're, you know, the game's already over. It's tough to kind of keep that foot completely down on the pedal and do the all gas, no brake thing. Sometimes human nature takes over a little bit. I'm not excusing it fully. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm just saying I get it. I understand how the game was done right there. Everyone knew it. The Saints knew it. The Packers knew it. The fans knew it. The announcers knew it. You knew it. I knew it. My mom knew it. We all knew it. It was done. 21-0. You could have put the dagger right then and there. In fact, prior to the drive, Jacob Westendorf sitting next to me, I said, this is a dagger drive right here. If Green Bay goes down, it was 14-0. So if Green Bay goes down and scores a touchdown, it's just done. It's just over. And it was. It was done. It was over. There's nothing the Saints could have done from that point forward. They were not going to get to 22 points in this game. And so much so, the Saints didn't even get inside Green Bay's 20 all game long. They did not get in the red zone. The furthest that they got was, I think, the 22-yard line. I got it in my notes here somewhere. 22-yard line. Furthest I got on Green Bay was Green Bay's 22-yard line. It was remarkable performance by the defense. I loved every second of it. Offense had a couple moments, but the defense was stellar all game long, and that's exactly what I wanted to see in this one. You know the one thing that can make the holiday season even better this year, and that is winning. And right now on Prize Picks, you can win up to 1,000 times your money. It is simple. Prize Picks is the best place to get real money action while watching your favorite sports. And Prize Picks also offers a variety of weekly promotions that can lead to huge payouts. And yes, my favorite promotion is Taco Tuesday, when Prize Picks discounts select player projections up to 25% to provide even more value for your lineups. You can make your Prize Picks in fewer than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks. This week, I'm going with Sam Darnold to throw at least one interception against Green Bay, Jordan Love to throw for multiple touchdowns, and Will Reichard to kick multiple field goals, because Minnesota is going to be settling for field goals all day long. The best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup by using code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. Run your game. All right, so those are kind of my keynotes. Let's look at the offensive performance in this one. This is the drive-by-drive for the offense. 10 plays, 63 yards, touchdown. 17 plays, 96 yards, touchdown. 6 plays, 67 yards, touchdown. So 3 straight touchdown drives. 63 yards, 96 yards, 67 yards. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Then 3 plays, 6 yards, punt. 10 plays, 47 yards, field goal. 7 plays, 13 yards, punt. 9 plays, 56 yards, field goal. 7 plays, 48 yards, touchdown. And then the kneel down at the end. So they really had 8 drives. They scored on 6 of them. They punted on 2 of them. They scored 4 times, or they scored touchdowns 4 times. That's still pretty darn good. For a day that you put up 34 points, it still didn't feel like they completely were on all cylinders at all times. They still had 8 drives. 6 of them were scoring drives. Only 2 of them were punts, no turnovers, and 4 out of the 8 drives were touchdowns. It's pretty good. 69 plays, 404 yards, 5.9 yards per play, 17 of 30 passing, 216 net passing yards, 7.2 yards per pass, 39 rushes, 188 yards, really 37 rushes for 190 yards when you take the 2 QB or QB kneels down at the end. It would be 4.8 yards per carry with the 39 for 188. If you take the kneel downs out, it actually would have been 5.1 yards per carry for Green Bay's offense. And I'll say it one more time, 0 turnovers. Green Bay was 6 of 13 on third down, 3 of 3 on fourth down, and they were 4 of 4 in the red zone, scoring touchdowns every single time they got inside the 20-yard line. So a lot to really like about this Packers offense, even though, again, I still think there's a lot more out there. And Jordan Love echoed those same comments or sentiments in his comments in his post-game presser, saying there's a lot more points out there for Green Bay. And I totally agree with him. This still felt like it wasn't quite that four-quarter performance. It wasn't quite as dominant as I think even it could have been, which is kind of scary to think about because they just went on a run of 5 consecutive 30-point performances. What else do we want to talk about here? Josh Jacobs, we talked about as our Luigi's Pizza player of the game. Just fantastic. The focal point of the offense. He's the dude. He's the guy. And teams just can't find a way to stop him, especially early on. He's the tone setter. He's the tone setter for the entire team. And I have the feeling that when needed, not only can he be the tone setter, he can be the closer as well. He can be kind of a little bit of everything. I thought it was really smart for them not to do too much with him, not to put too much on his plate, but just an absolute stud, continues to impress. I know some chatter about Jordan Love in this one. Not Jordan's best game, you know, didn't have the deep ball, didn't look like himself. So it was a poor performance. I'd be a little bit careful. I'll go through, obviously, and watch the all 22. I watched him pretty closely, though, on the rewatch. His final stat line, 16 of 28, 182 yards, 6.5 yard average, a touchdown, no interceptions, and 0 sacks. I'll start by saying no turnover worthy plays. That's a very big plus in and of itself. No sacks taken. That's a very big plus in and of itself. So when you're not making major negatives, you're usually going to still put yourself in a position to be successful. On all of the incompletions, there were 12 of them. At first rewatch, I had really 2 of them that I thought were missed throws. The rest, there's a deep throw early in the game to Romeo that doesn't connect. He gets hit on that play as he's throwing. maybe still could have completed it, but I can understand, like, he's getting pressure and he's getting hit while throwing it, makes it difficult. The Watson incompletion, you didn't see it on the TV copy initially. I don't know if they showed a replay. I was just watching the condensed version, but live, you can see it very well. Watson couldn't track, like, he didn't know where the ball was. He didn't track it, didn't see it, kind of slowed down on the play. Also, that was after the injury for Watson. I guarantee you he was not running that thing at 100%, probably didn't feel like himself. And Jordan's leading him as if this is 100% Christian Watson out there, expecting him to be able to accelerate down there. Watson, I don't think, had it. He came out of the game after that, did not return. And then I also just don't think Watson located it really either. And so I didn't have that one on Jordan. There were two that I had on Jordan. Two missed throws. There's a little play in the flat to Bo Melton where he just grounded it and just missed it completely. And then there's a deep crosser to Jaden Reed that I thought he could have hit on as well. Two missed throws. A lot of plays where there was like a screen set up and he had to just get rid of it. A play where he bootlegged and he had to just get rid of it. You know, just some plays that there wasn't a ton there and he lived to see another down. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Meaning you can't say, man, I really just need Jordan to throw the ball away or get rid of it or throw it into the dirt when something's not there and live to see the next down and then say, man, Jordan didn't play well. Yeah, he, incompleted a lot of passes and, you know, wasn't able to connect on some of those. Well, he was doing his job. He was taking care of the ball and not putting it in harm's way. I had two, and we'll see what the all 22 looks like when we get to that point, hopefully sometime today or tomorrow as you're listening to this. And we'll see if maybe I changed my mind on a couple of those. But at first rewatch, only two throws that I thought were really missed on Jordan's end. And as Matt always likes to say, it's really all 11. Got to protect. You got to get open. Jordan's got to deliver. You can argue like the deep ball, the read that connects, could you have led him more to get read under, to just be able to run in stride, I should say? Yeah, I think you can talk about that a little bit more. And I do think that you have the ability to continue to work on this Packers offense and rhythm and timing on some of those deep throws and make it better. And they should be working on that. I don't think it's been perfect as of late. In fact, I think it's been kind of far from it. I think there's a lot of things that they can clean up on their deep ball accuracy from both a receiver and quarterback standpoint. But I didn't look at this game in real time nor on rewatch and be like, whew, what a brutal game from Jordan. Wasn't his best. Things he can improve upon. Things that I think the offense can improve upon from a pass offense standpoint. Reminder that the Saints are fourth in quarterback passer rating allowed. Like they're a good pass defense. And they, again, really made Green Bay work. They weren't allowing the explosives. They were making you dink and dunk and take what was there. And for the most part, Jordan did. Not the most aesthetically pleasing game in the world, but when you have no turnover-worthy plays, no sacks, what I would count as only two missed throws, some good throwaways, some good decisions against a very good pass defense, he managed the game. He took care of the football. And in that sort of game, that's all I can really ask for, especially when you're running the ball pretty darn well. Shout out to the offensive line. 188 rushing yards. Again, would have been 190 had it not been for the kneel downs. Zero sacks allowed. It's a good day at the office for the offensive line. If you're generating almost 200 yards of rushing yards and not allowing a single sack, job well done, offensive line. We'll see. I still thought there were maybe some inefficient runs, some ones that I would have liked to have seen a little bit more push and a little bit more consistency there. But overall, you're rushing for pretty much 200 with no sacks allowed. It's a hell of a day from the offensive line. Nine different players ran the football for Green Bay, the most since October 18th of 1953 against Baltimore per Wes Hodkiewicz. And I just want to shout out one more time, not just Josh Jacobs, but Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks as well. I thought all three of those guys ran incredibly hard all throughout the day. I mean, they somehow found three running backs that really like to run physical and run through faces. And it just shows, it wears you down. And even when it's Wilson or Brooks, like you just get done. You see Josh Jacobs going out the game and you're thinking, oh, thank God. I was sick of tackling that guy. And then you get fresh legs from Emmanuel Wilson or Chris Brooks, and they're looking to run through your face. It's a long day at the office for opposing defenses when you go against those guys. They will make you pay. They will punish you, and they'll run it at you all day long. And that's exactly what we saw in this game. As far as the defensive performance, just brilliant, absolutely brilliant. The first shutout of the entire season in the NFL. It's the first time anyone shut out anyone this season. That's pretty impressive. Six plays, 21 yards punt. Three plays, 0 yards punt, six plays, 27 yards fumble, eight plays, 34 yards end of half, five plays, 14 yards punt, 9 plays, 48 yards, interception, 4 plays, 13 yards, punt, 4 plays, 18 yards, turnover on downs, 8 plays, 27 yards, turnover on downs. Their longest drive went 48 yards. As I mentioned, they never got inside the 22-yard line of Green Bay. Punt, punt, fumble, end of half, punt, interception, punt, turnover on downs, turnover on downs. Gorgeous day for the defense. And by the way, I mentioned that the closest they got was the 22-yard line. Kudos to Rob Domofsky for pointing this out. The Saints only twice got inside Green Bay's 30-yard line. I think it was like the 29-yard line one time and the 22-yard line the other time. Both of those times were turnovers. They had two plays inside the 30. Both plays were turnovers, the fumble and then the interception. As soon as the Saints got inside the 30, which only happened twice on two plays, there's only two plays the entire game in which the Saints were inside Green Bay's 30, and both of them were turnovers. In total, 53 plays, 196 net yards, a 3.7 yards per play average. 3.7 yards per play is brutal. 15 of 30, 129 net passing yards, 3.9 yards per pass, 20 carries, 67 yards, 3.4 yards per carry, no points, two turnovers. A beautiful day for the defense. Per Next Gen Stats, the Packers pass rush pressured Spencer Rattler 20 times, 3 sacks, generating a season-high 52.6 team pressure rate. 8 different defensive linemen had multiple pressures, including Brenton Cox Jr. with 6, LVN with 5, Rashawn Gary with 4, and Devontae Wyatt with 3. Thought there were a lot of standouts here. Keyshawn Nixon, forced fumble, sack, good coverage all day, came up and tackled really well. Thought that was an awesome game from Keyshawn Nixon. Brenton Cox led the team in pressures with 6. That, I thought he had a really nice game. Yes, he had the penalty, not the most egregious penalty in the world. Thought the refs maybe could have let that one go a little bit more. But you love seeing the pressure, the physicality, the intensity, the tenacity from Brenton Cox, the violence from Brenton Cox. That's starting to pay off. Devontae Wyatt with 2 sacks. He's starting to stack success and get hot at the right time. First glance, see what the All 22 says, but I thought Eric Stokes had a really nice day. I don't know that he allowed a completion, but either way, like he was really sound, tackled well. This is as good as I've seen Eric Stokes look in a while. Zane Anderson comes in, gets the opportunity to play at safety, gets the big interception. Thought he was really good. There was a play, I think it was Edgerrin Cooper I think it was one of the big tackles that he made either for a loss or the big hit. I forget which one it was, but it's Zane Anderson that comes up and sets the edge on the play, so that Edgerrin Cooper can make that one. Like, great play by Cooper, but hat tip to Zane Anderson for being able to come up, set the edge, and make it so that they have to funnel inside, and then Edgerrin Cooper is just there to clean it up. Really liked what I saw to Zane Anderson, and then Edge Cooper all over the place again, 10 tackles, and was flying around the field. Big-time hitter, big-time playmaker, just going to be an absolute stud in this league. So a lot of shutouts for the defense in this one. Special teams, Brandon McManus. I mean, unbelievable. 55-yard field goal. Was like a 48-yarder. Multiple extra points. Just hasn't been missing. Exactly what you want on your kicker. Especially right now, league-wide, kicking has been a problem. Green Bay had to go through some accidents to get to where they are right now. Anders Carlson, Braden Narveson, etc. But to get to where they are right now, to have a really good kicker who's making pretty much everything, kind of worth it in the end, if I'm being honest. You'll take a very good Brandon McManus going into the playoffs. Nice kick return by Keyshawn Nixon on his one opportunity. Couple poor kick coverage plays that they'll need to get that cleaned up a little bit, but nothing super egregious. One poor punt by Daniel Whalen, but overall, Brandon McManus kind of made up for anything else with his stellar performance on special teams. Some miscellaneous stuff. Your inactives for the day were Jair Alexander, Javon Bullard, Quay Walker, Evan Williams, Malik Heath, and Jacob Monk. Omar Brown was called up from the practice squad. Luke Musgrave was activated and played in this game. He played a total of 8 snaps. Nothing too much. It's almost exactly what you would have expected. It's at like 8 to 12. They end up on the smaller side of that, and he plays 8 total snaps. Just kind of getting him reintegrated in the offense. As far as injuries go, Tyron Hopper went out early. He returned both on special teams and on defense late in the game. Josh Jacobs is totally fine. That was a rest decision. Christian Watson is the concerning one, and that is going to be one that we have to keep an eye on. Matt LaFleur did say there was concern after the game as to how long he could potentially be out. And we'll hopefully get an update from Matt on Christmas Eve as you're listening to this. But I don't know if he's going to be transparent about it or if we have to wait till later in the week, but hopefully it is good news on Christian Watson and he can be back at minimum by the time the playoffs start. which, by the way, Evan Williams, for, you know, per Matt LaFleur, sounds like is going to be done for the regular season. Sounds like he's not super close to coming back right now. And the hope is that he's going to be ready to go for the playoffs. But that's a big loss for Evan Williams, or for the Packers, to not have Evan Williams over the course of these final 2 weeks. Asked a lot about Jaire Alexander and him not playing again in this one. I don't see this as some big conspiracy, or that Jaire's quit on the team, or the Packers are upset. I'm sure they're disappointed and frustrated. I'm sure Jaire is disappointed and frustrated. I think they're being really smart. They weren't smart with him against the Bears. They're being smarter with him now. It's the right decision. Give him the time that he needs. We'll see if he can play against Minnesota. If not, then against Chicago. If not, then bring him back for the playoffs if need be. This is the right decision. I don't think there's anything nefarious or weird going on. I just think he's hurt. I honestly just think he's hurt. And you might say he's practicing in full. They've got all the data to track and see, is he ready to go? Is he 100%? And it clearly has not been at least enough to get him out on the field. And if there's any question whatsoever, then to me, that's the right decision. As mentioned, the Packers did clinch a playoff berth with their win against the Saints. As far as what seeds they can get, only the 5th, the 6th, or the 7th. The Packers have a 26% chance to get the 5 seed, a 45% chance to get the 6 seed, and a 28% chance to get the 7 seed. Again, kudos to ESPN for posting that on the show today, or on the game today. But where they end up is going to be dependent upon how they play the remainder of the season. In order to get the 5 seed, they need to win out. Wins against the Vikings and against the Bears, and then they need the Vikings to lose to the Lions in that final week, in week 18. 6 seed is the most likely. The 7 seed, they need to avoid. If they want to avoid it, they have to continue to outperform, or like just stay even with the Commanders. If they lose a game and the Commanders win both of theirs, the Commanders will get the 6. Green Bay will be pushed down to that 7 seed. The playoffs were to start today. The Lions are the 1 seed. Eagles are the 2. Rams are the 3. Falcons are the 4. Vikings are the 5. Packers are the 6. And Commanders are the 7, which again would leave Commanders at Eagles, Packers at Rams, and Vikings at Falcons. Packers-Vikings coming up this week. Big game. Move to 3:25, by the way, Central Time. And I mean, it's a huge game. Minnesota's still fighting for the division. They have a ton to play for. Green Bay's trying to stay out of that 7 seed, trying to at least stay in the 6, give them a chance at the 5. I talked about this in the pregame show today, and I've talked about it a little bit in the past as well. I don't think it's a complete impossibility that the Packers and Vikings could face off in the NFC Championship game. I think there's a real world in which those are the two best teams in the NFC. I really do. And if that's the case, you would sure like Green Bay to be the 5 and Minnesota to be the 6, so that that game is in Green Bay. In all likelihood, the last home game for Green Bay is going to be against the Bears in week 18, and there's not going to be another home game. But if they finish ahead of Minnesota, it's not out of the realm of possibility. I do think that could be Minnesota at Green Bay. So there's a lot to fight for Green Bay. And if nothing else, you want to beat the Vikings. You want to show that you can go on the road and pick up a big win. I know Seattle was a pretty decent win, but this would be their signature win on the road. You would love to get that prior to the playoffs starting. I guess I'd rather have it, you know, be 3 consecutive games in the playoffs that you get those signature wins, but I would still love that win against Minnesota. As mentioned, Packers win this one 34-0. Not perfect, which is crazy, right? I'll say this. This is not disparaging towards the Packers at all. That was probably, to me, one of the most... boring seems harsh. a little bit boring, 34-0 win. And I mean that. I'm not saying that as like, oh, the Packers should have scored more or anything like that. Nothing like that whatsoever. Just the way that that game went, where the Saints couldn't do anything on offense, and the Saints defense really made the Packers grind it out. So it was a lot of just like 3 and 4 yard gains, like all day long. It just was like, okay, like 19 play or whatever it was, like 17 play, 96 yard drive. Okay. But it was like, it was lacking in some of those big plays, and it was never in doubt. It was never in question. There was a little sleepy series for the Packers offense in the middle, and you ended up at 34-0, which is crazy. They dominated the game from beginning to end. And almost every other 34-0 game, you're like going nuts, right? Like, it's an unbelievable score. This one was probably one of the more nondescript, just, we took your soul, 34-0. Don't worry about it. Go back to New Orleans. New Orleans battled on defense, and Green Bay was by far and away the better team, as we expected going in. And I'll say it one more time. I still think there's still so much more out there for this Packers, specifically in offense, and just being a little bit more efficient. If they can get there, look the hell out. Shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day members, Cameron Hawley, Brandon, I'm a Packer Fan, DSP Historical Society, Shiver Sam, Mary Bister, DeVolton, Kirby McLaughlin, Chicken, Poisson Patel, and Jekyll Island. And a shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members as well. Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Arnoldo Espinoza, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Step Keat, Love and Football, Dylan Pat Scott, Bobby Santoro, and SoCal Pack. I hope you all enjoy your victory Tuesday tremendously. I hope you all have a very happy Christmas Eve and a very Merry Christmas for those who celebrate tomorrow. Happy holidays to everyone. Happy New Year. We'll talk all about that over the course of the next week or so as well. Packers, man, 11-4, hell of a football team. Really, really fun. It is so fun to cover this team. I love where they're headed. I love the direction. Kudos to Matt LaFleur for another playoff berth. Lots to be excited about. Now we're on to the Minnesota Vikings, and it should be a massively fun and just massive matchup coming up this week. 3:25 Central, Packers Vikings in Minnesota. Lots on the line. Huge, huge heavyweight fight. Looking forward to it. Enjoy your day, everyone. I will talk to you all very, very soon. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.